morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see all these shining faces.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah. Thank you.
Beautiful morning.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And every time you've been met.
Yeah. But you like to hear them, don't you? Let's ask God to guide us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, dear Lord, and we thank you for the freedom and the opportunity that we have to come to church and worship you, dear Lord. We pray that the things that we talk about today from your word will somehow strengthen us, dear Lord, and make us better servants for you. We just ask you to guide us and lead us, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for your wonderful message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so why do we need to be saved from wrath? If anybody's read the book of Revelations at all, you know how horrible this wrath is going to be in the end days. Good morning. And but God had a plan, didn't he? He had a plan from the very beginning. The first verse in Genesis says, and they were all there. God was there. Jesus was there. The Holy Spirit was there. They collectively had this plan to save us from ourselves. And sometimes we are the biggest stumbling block ourselves. We put things there that don't belong. And we give things too much importance that really doesn't matter. But God's word keeps us straight. He gets us on the path. He tells you, no matter what you're going through, I've got a plan. This is the man with a plan. And if you're ever going to follow anybody that's got a plan, this is the man you want to follow. He's got it all worked out. You know, it even happened very soon. He made all creation, everything that he did, and it was good. He said, it was good. Well, then he made man, and he said, and it was very good. Man was very good. But man let him down, didn't he? He let him down. So then God said, well, I've got a plan for that. I've got a remedy for that. And he sent Jesus. Jesus came to this world for no other reason than to save you from wrath. Another title that you could put on this lesson is Peace with God. And that's what he's going to talk to us about today here in Romans. And Paul wrote the book of Romans. And he's going to talk to us about the plan that God had and the peace that he wants you to experience. It's not just for certain days of the week. You know, every day we don't get up and say, oh, thank you for another day. We get up with on the back of our mind thinking about what all we need to do today, what all we need to accomplish. And sometimes other things just kind of get tamped down. But God is here to remind us that no matter what you get up thinking in the morning, he's there. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to desert you. He is there. The believer's new status in Christ. Like I said, our lesson today comes from the book of Romans. And if somebody would read the very first verse, it's Romans 5:1.
Therefore, being justified by faith.
Thank you, Roberta. Justified. What did we learn that mean last week? Justified.
Saved from sin.
Just as if I never sinned. We learned that from Gerald Hughes. They were with us last Sunday. Justified. Just as if I never sinned. Would we all like to go back to that day? Just as if I never sinned? Or maybe this is the first day of that. Just as if I never sinned. No matter when that day is, we need to be thankful for it. Because being justified, that's God says, just as if you never sinned, what's he going to say? We have peace. What do you think of when you think of peace?
Being justified.
Calm. I'm talking back on my face. Calm? Okay, what else?
Peace.
What else? Peace. Well, right now it would be absence of war.
Yeah.
What else?
Joy.
Joy.
Just quietness.
Quiet, yeah. The week you've had, I'm sure quiet would come into that. What else do you think of when you think of peace?
When I think of peace, I think of...
eternal life, okay.
Knowing.
Yeah. Peace is life without worry. And what does it mean when we worry? It's not a good thing. God tells us if you worry, you don't have enough faith in Him. So we're not supposed to worry about anything. We get concerned. I say it's not worry, it's concerned. We get concerned about things. So He says, just as if we've never sinned, we have peace from who?
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, from God through Jesus Christ. He knew from the very beginning what He was going to have to do, even before Adam sinned, Adam and Eve sinned. He knew that there was going to be a need for salvation for His people. And that's why He sent Christ. The first question today asks us, what comes to mind when you think of the word peace, which we talked about? So what do you think Paul meant when he used the word peace? Right. Peace with God. Yeah, that's what he meant. Christ's sacrifice is a new status with God's peace. Okay. I think that's it for that. All right. Well, somebody read verse 2.
By whom also we have access by faith into the glory of God.
Okay. So we have access by faith. Do you have faith?
No.
Sure you do. If you didn't have faith, you wouldn't be here today.
We have faith in God.
Uh-huh. That's right. That's what brought us here. Is that not right? That's what brought us here.
Yep.
What is grace?
An undeserved gift.
It's an undeserved gift. Yeah, from God.
From God.
You don't do anything to earn it. It's the forgiveness of our sins. God has given us that. What I was reading in the book here, and it kind of makes sense. It says grace is our entry ticket, but it's also our operating procedure. Grace gets us into favor with God, or grace puts us in favor with God, but it also directs how we live. So it's our operating procedure. Question number 4 wants to know, what is hope based on in the New Testament? What do we base our hope on in the New Testament? I just mentioned, if you've ever read the book of Revelation, our hope is based on the fact that all people are going to be judged, but God has a plan for us, for the believers. He has a plan for our future, and we have to believe in that and follow that.
You have to have faith.
Have faith, exactly. That's what our grace is, a gift is a great, faith is a gift of our grace. Okay. How about verse number 3? Well, 3 and 4, I'm sorry.
And not only so, but we glory.
We glory in tribulations. Ah, yeah. Sometimes that's what they say, you know, if you're using a hammer and you hit your thumb to your hammer, you said, oh, thank God I got a thumb. Oh. No, you say, why did this happen to me? We do not always glory in our tribulations. But if we face those tribulations with the faith that we're supposed to, this is what the benefit is going to be. It's going to give us more patience, it says. It's going to give us experience. That experience is going to give us hope. That there will be a better day, that there will be a better time. That's what he's telling us here in those few words. Guaranteed promises from God about our future. That's what our hope is. You've seen people that, appear to be hopeless, or they think that they're hopeless. And why is that? It's because of the tribulations that they're going through at the time. Sickness is a big thing. Sickness illness, loss of a loved one. There's all kinds of tribulations like that that we could get bogged down in and forget that God has the plan and that we just have to be faithful
and trust
and abide with him, and he will see us through.
You know, something I've learned in going through tribulations, and it says this in the lesson about it gives you experience and experience gives you hope. Once you've come through a really difficult time and God has saved you, God has worked his plan with you, the experience of knowing that he was there for you, the experience where you can look back and say, okay, I was way down here and he caught me, mm-hmm. and I made it through that terrible time.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gives you the hope to go on through more tribulations,
mm-hmm.
because life isn't easy. That's just, life is tough.
Yeah.
And just like with Ronnie, what he meant.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And when you look back and you say, okay, I was here. I was so sick. It was so bad. The doctors had no hope. Yet God brought me through it. Not only is that a witness to you,
mm-hmm.
but it's a witness
right.
to those around mm-hmm. you. And
yeah.
it's something you can
yeah.
share.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask. I said, what did that tribulation do for you?
It
gave you the desire to share that feeling and
yes.
that hope with others.
And the experience that God really has the plan.
Okay.
And
we're
also
going to
realize that we got to look at this at the point of view, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So who do we turn to?
Mm-hmm.
We got to turn to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the people that don't know who to turn to, he's going to have to realize, be taught that God's there for you.
Well, that's the problem.
Get saved.
That's,
people don't know where to go.
Yeah, that's one of the main problems with society today. People think, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm doing all right on my own. But if they could just give up.
And give it all, they'd be better.
And accept that peace that comes from that, they would know how much better life could be.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. Yes, exactly.
You know, we're taught to be self-reliant. I made myself. I can pull myself
mm-hmm.
through this.
Mm-hmm.
And then here, the hopelessness comes from when you've relied on yourself.
Then you know that you can't do it by
and
yourself.
And you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't know where to turn.
Don't know where to go.
And that's where the hopelessness comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So the experience of having God pull you through is what makes you so
that much stronger.
A believer.
Amen to that.
What is that?
My health has took a lot of my love away from me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't farm anymore. I can't get up and show.
Mm-hmm.
I can't catch a softball. My little granddaughter's.
Mm-hmm.
But what it has done, I wake up every morning thanking
mm-hmm.
God for another morning because I'm set.
Well,
up
this is true, yeah.
I just thankful for another morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
See, when you're freewheeling and you're able to get out and do everything that you want to do, that all kind of goes to the back of your mind,
right.
doesn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah. We have to be put in a position of need.
Yeah.
And God knows we need him.
That's right.
He knows we need him, but he also knows he's the answer for that need. He'll see us through no matter what the trial is,
yeah.
no matter what the temptations. We have a lot of temptations in this world, too. And it's just like Mimi said, so many people believe they're doing it all on their own.
No,
they're not. And when they come to realize that they're not in this alone, it could have one of two effects.
It's just like, he can't drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, one more thing that's taught me is patience. Because I can't control very much of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I wait on God now.
Yeah.
For the things that we, right now we're waiting on God.
Right. And yeah. Do you notice that goes with age?
Yes.
You're a lot more patient. The older you get, the more patient you are. My mom used to, everybody knows my mom was a, she was a meticulous house person, and she was a wonderful cook, but she had a way of doing everything. And if you'd start to do something, well, she, I always, that's what she started with, I always did it this way. I told her one time, I said, Mom, you're going to get to the place where you're not going to care how people do it as long as they do it. Well, she did get there, but it took a few years. But I think that's, we rely too much on our independence so that when it's taken away from us, we do have time to think. We have a lot of time to think about our thoughts and maybe where we went wrong. But does God remind us of that every day? No. He just says, come to me. Come to me.
Yeah.
I'm the answer. I'm going to take care of you. I've got all the answers. Come to me. Just give up and give it to God.
Yeah.
What is the one book in the Old Testament where the man was tried so much?
Job.
The trials that Job went through. And why did Job suffer all that?
Because he was a righteous man.
Because he was a righteous man. But what did his friends do? They all tried to talk him out of, they said, curse God and die. God's let all this stuff happen to you. Curse him and die. But Job would not. He kept his faith. He stood strong in his faith. So that's what sometimes you hear people talk about, that he had the patience of Job. Well, patience of Job, we could all use a little bit of that, I think.
Nobody's ever referred to me that.
No, and may never.
They never said no, may never.
Yeah.
Years ago, how many years ago it was?
Right after COVID.
Okay, well, I was in revival and I tested. Mm-hmm. So we need to pray again. I need to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they really didn't find anything in that first test they did. I went back to revival second night and I said,
wow.
And so they did some tests, and Michael was selling his house, so me and Michael were on our way to the family, you know. By this time, Acacia and Tim had got word from a doctor. I seen tears going down his face, and I said, what's wrong? Does something happen to your dad? And he said, no. I said, does something happen to one of the kids? And he said, no. And I said, oh my gosh. I said, something's happening to my cat. And he said, no. And he said, Mom, he said, you can't tell anybody. I told you, you've got a brain bleed. He said, you can't go help me. Let's go pick out the cleaning stuff. And I got this feeling of peace that, I mean, we walked around picking up cleaning stuff, and he said, Mom, were you worried? I would have known something was wrong because in the case and Tim showed up at Michael's next. This time, we had the house pretty much clean, and the only thing left was the ash. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'll be. She said, Mom, you got to stop. And I said, I will be fine. I will be fine. Mm-hmm. And she said, but we won't.
Yeah.
And I'm not fine now.
So you never had any effects of that?
No, the doctor at UHC, I can't remember his name. Do you remember his name? He was very upset that they weren't doing what he wanted them to do, so he insisted I go to Morgan T. So I'm going to tell you, there was a lot of asking questions. I must have been asked if I fell. I don't know. Every 5 minutes somebody was saying, did you fall? Did mm-hmm. you hit your head? No. And I would tell them the story about, you know, going to church and... So after a while, you know, finally somebody came in to talk to me and pretty much said that somebody and all that said, tell her to stop testifying. They said if every time she testifies, she's just going to have the top of her head kind of feeling like, well, tell her to stop testifying. And I said, no, I don't.
But you didn't. No.
No. No. Obviously.
Uh-huh. No, never quit.
No, no. Yeah.
I just... You know, I mean, Tim and McKayson, when they uh-huh. must have thought it was really serious, but...
You know. It was your faith. It was your faith that kept you from going off the deep end. Yeah.
I just knew that everything was going to be okay, no matter what.
Well, that's a wonderful testimony, Taryn. Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
But I need prayer, because I can't get over Michael.
Yeah. Well... Sometimes our tribulations are not all about us, are they? They're about the ones we love.
I'm not strong like him, and, mm-hmm. and I don't think I'm as strong as my children.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got the most wonderful children in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But that one right there, he's just, I can't uh-huh. even begin to tell you how wonderful he is.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, he had a brain tumor, and if it hadn't been for a seizure...
Never found it.
Yeah, I mean... But he had a seizure and they found a brain tumor. And
well, kind of the same thing with Rodney. Had an accident.
Yep.
And they found the tumor on his brain. Yeah, yep. Very same thing.
If we didn't have an accident,
oh,
he would have been dead. If they had.
I thought somebody rear-ended you. And that's
yeah,
when it all started.
Yeah,
okay.
But if we didn't go to church that day and it happened, he would have been dead.
So you were probably thankful for an accident. I was thankful that my son had a seizure because he's still with us.
See, God works in mysterious ways.
And Ronnie's a year cancer free.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Well, that was a wonderful testimony, Karen. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Well, that's okay.
I have a prayer.
Yes.
It seems like every time I turn around, there's new people in this church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure who these young people just walked in.
Well, I didn't know either until Karen. That's her son.
Oh,
that's
okay.
My son and his wife and one of my beautiful grandchildren.
Well, I am so thankful you're here. I'm so thankful you're here and Rodney and Heather. And we just seem to have new people coming every Sunday.
That's wonderful.
It's basically when Tim's here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was upset this morning. I thought, you know, so many times I've had so many kids and so many grandchildren at church with me. So him walking in with his family, that's just the best gift I can give.
Oh, I'm sure. And the story you told, that just goes so good with the theme of Mother's Day. That's what I was thinking when you were telling that.
All right.
Okay. All right. So verse 5. Will somebody read that?
And hope maketh not ashamed. God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Shed abroad. Do you think there's a play on words in that statement? What had to be shed to get our sins taken away?
The blood.
The blood of Christ is what took our sins away. So that blood that was shed abroad now gives us what? What's the gift that came as a result of that?
Took our sins away,
but what's the gift that we have received?
Salvation.
The last part.
Salvation.
The Holy Ghost. When we receive salvation, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, comes to live within us.
Yeah.
And I never realized this till I was in Bible study with the other church, but Gerald always says the Holy Spirit lives in the believer, and the Holy Spirit does not sin. So if your human side, if your worldly side does something, it's not against the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit will not allow it.
Explain.
Yeah, explain. The Holy Spirit is in you, controlling you. It will not allow you to sin. So if you do commit a sin, it's the human side of you, it's the worldly side of you that does that. It's not God allowing it to happen. You are saying, okay, I got this.
He doesn't leave you, though.
No, it doesn't leave you. But you will still have to face the judgment. That's what our lesson is about today, safe from wrath. We're going to be safe from wrath. We're going to be safe from all of the evil that's going to befall the non-believers. But we still have to face the judgment. We still have to face judgment for the things that we do.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit assures us of what? God's love. He loved us so much. Not only did he send his son to die for us, then he said, okay, I've taken Christ out of the world. I've got to give them something to help them through. And that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. When we've got the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we can do anything. We can move mountains. We have so much power from that. And I think sometimes we kind of take it for granted, or we don't really acknowledge where it comes from. But we need to acknowledge that on a daily basis. We need to thank God every day for his gift of Jesus and for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because if not for those two things, none of us would be here. We wouldn't have any reason to be here. And that's why it's so hard for us to witness to non-believers, because unless a tragedy befalls a non-believer, a sickness, some kind of an accident, I don't know about your friend that was attacked, but unless some kind of tragedy befalls, they don't see any need to reach out, or any need to reach up, I should say, to God for answers. And that's what the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit does for us. It gives us that strength and that power, knowing that no matter when we ask, he will answer.
Oh, she has
belief. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
She goes to church.
Okay, that's wonderful. Okay, now the last part of the lesson is the believer's old status prior to Christ. So we're going to go back in time here just a little bit. If somebody will read verse 6.
For we were yet for yeah. heresy, for righteousness man, but one died.
Okay. So verse 6, when we were yet without strength. Yet without strength means it was prior to?
Being saved.
Prior to what?
Being saved.
Being saved. And also, when we're saved, what comes in?
The Holy Spirit.
So when we were without strength, that means we didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Well, it's one thing to think that Christ died for me, or you, or anyone that's here today. But to think that he died for the ungodly, we were all ungodly at one time, right? Because we're all born into sin. So we were all in need of a Savior. We were all in need of salvation. So he died for all of us. Let me see. That's right. Humanity was neither strong enough or good enough to fix their sin problem. Okay, so you started on verse 7, Roberta. Finish that.
For scarcely for a righteous man, but one.
Yet. Chris? She got caught up in what we were doing. Okay.
What is that word?
Peradventure.
Yeah.
It means
peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die.
It's doubt.
Yet doubt for a good man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Doubt for a good man.
For a righteous man, will one die? Yet for a good man, some would even dare to die. In other words,
yeah.
Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the sinners. And yet we wouldn't even die for a good person,
mm-hmm.
a godly person.
Well, and it goes on in the lesson to explain what a good person is. What is it we want to hear when we go to heaven? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well, how do we get to be good? We get to be good by doing the will of God. That's what he calls a good and faithful servant. It's someone that's doing his will. But this describes in the lesson, in the worldly terms, is how someone gets to be good. We're thinking basically of benefactors. Okay, you've seen, mostly it happens with the wealthy. They give a lot of their money away, a lot of their money to charity, for certain things, and that's what they're calling a good man. But when people give their money to charity, do they expect something in return? They shouldn't. They shouldn't.
But they want glory.
That's it. That's it. That's the word exactly, June. They want to be glorified for the gift that they made. So, was that gift made in the right?
Nope.
No. Okay. That's a good person. Well, it says, rarely would a man lay down his life for a righteous man or a good man. Christ laid down his life for all of us. The good, the bad, and the ugly, according to that one movie that was out there with Clint Eastwood, I think. Yeah, the good, the bad, and the ugly. What do we know? Who do we know that lays down their life for people?
Very few.
Soldiers are soldiers.
That's it, Tim. The American soldier will lay down his life for people that he has no idea who they are.
Police officers.
Police officers, yeah. All of those people that are out there on the front lines, they do it out of a sense of duty.
And they call them servants.
They call them servants.
They call them public servants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. How about somebody read the rest of it? 9, 10, and 11. Yeah. Yeah.
Before you go on,
she
was afraid to ask, but she wanted...
How we're born in sin? Because, okay, Adam was the first man created. He and Eve were in the garden and everything was going cool, all right? And then they did what? They sinned. So they were in that sinful state. God could not allow them to stay in the garden because the tree of life was in the garden. So if they were in that sinful state and they ate fruit from that tree of life, then they would be forever sinful. Okay. So he kicked them out of the garden, but they had children. The fact that they sinned, what did their two children do? Cain and Abel.
They sinned.
Yeah. One of them killed the other. So from the time that Adam sinned, because he was the beginning of man, from the time they sinned, that means that all born after that were born in that sinful state. So that's why. Understand? Okay. All right. So that's why they were all, yeah. It's a good question. And I'm telling you what, we started Bible study with Pastor Tim's church after he started preaching over here. I have learned so much. And those, and it's just 1 hour on Thursday evening. They start at 6 and they finish at 7. It doesn't drag on and on, but the lessons do. It takes forever to get through a chapter. But I have learned so much just being around people that have studied the Bible their whole life. And it, I'm telling you, it's really a blessing. And it's really a blessing. There's just no other word to say for it. And it's been good. It's been good for this church. It's just to get all the way around, hadn't it, Kenny? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. It is online now.
I think he does,
doesn't it? I did, yeah, it is. It's on Mount Lebanon's page on Thursday evening, 6 o'clock. It's on, yeah, it's he's got a little camera set up and everything. But, okay, where were we? Okay, enemies. Do we consider ourselves to be enemies of God?
We don't want to be enemies of God.
Yeah. But what makes us an enemy?
Sinner.
Sin. Sin makes us an enemy to God because that was another
sin
thing.
Sin is against everything God is about.
Mm-hmm.
And we are against the very basis.
That separates us. It separates us from God. But he has a way for us to be reconciled. And that was what? Through the death of Jesus. Yeah, through the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's a way that we can be reconciled and save our life. We also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ from by whom we have now received the atonement. The atonement, Mimi talked about this last week. That is the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross. He settled. When I see this word reconciled, I don't know about you all, but I reconcile my bank statement monthly just to see that I'm, you know, to me, reconcile means to balance. So when God has reconciled us to him, he is balancing us. He's given our life balance. And if we know the world that we live in, life is out of imbalance quite a bit. If we didn't have God, if we didn't have this church, if we didn't have these people that are here to worship with us, the imbalance would be unbearable. And that's why we feed off one another. Do not forsake yourselves, the gathering together with the saints, because we all get strength from listening to other people tell their stories. Karen, that was beautiful. I still say for Mother's Day, that was perfect. But we all are better people for having been here. But is that why we come?
No, we come to learn the word.
We come to learn. We come to praise and worship God for all that He's done for us. Yeah, give Him thanks. Yes, thanks. A ton of thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, does anybody have any questions or comments? I think we just about talked ourselves out. How about the practical points?
Suffering produces many great...
Well, that is really tough to do, to rejoice in your suffering. Yeah.
It's hard to do, really.
Mm-hmm. It is hard to do,
yes. Even the one where it says, like, to be thankful.
Uh-huh.
I'm so thankful that God's there. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know how people that don't have Him...
Honestly.
I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to see people their choice.
Right. Look at the disabled people.
Yes.
You know, yeah, a lot of them. And people in wheelchairs going to church. That is a beautiful sight. Beautiful sight to behold.
Okay. Darling, I'll tell you a little story about my aunt. She's 90 and she's completely blind.
Mm.
And I'd go see her and I'm sitting there with my eyes as big as, you know, oh man, how can you?
Uh-huh.
And here you are, you're blind, you're at rest home, no one comes to see you.
Uh-huh.
God is so good.
Yeah. I think we think a lot more about that when we are older, like you say, 90s. I just saw a lady that I worked with at the gas company, Jeannie Stewart. Her husband, Harold, passed away. He was 90, but he used to sing in a gospel group. I can't remember what it was, but he had a real good, deep bass voice. But Jeannie and Harold have been in church forever, all over, and I'm sure she's really going to miss him. But he died at 90.
Who was that, darling?
Harold Stewart, Jeannie's husband. Okay.
Would it have been the hook quartet?
Yeah, it's in the obituary. I just don't remember what it was called. Christ died for sinners to show God's love. It's hard to believe that someone could show you how much they love by letting somebody die, isn't it? But that's the glory of God. That's the beauty of His Word.
Yeah.
Believers can escape this coming judgment through Christ. The death and resurrection of Christ brings us eternal reconciliation with God. Well, I thank you all for your help this morning. I struggled a little bit with this lesson. I don't know why, but it is such a good lesson to know that God's got the plan. We just have
He's
to be.
God too.
Yes, He's loving, and it's not His will that any perish, right?
No.
For God so loved the world that He sent His Son so that no one would perish. God so loved the world. Okay.